Let me say good afternoon to everyone and want to thank you for joining us via the conference call that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I want to thank all the brothers that preceded me to make this worship service one that the Lord will be pleased with. We know we worship the Lord according to Acts 2:42 and verse 47. We understand that our worship consists of the five acts that Luke wrote for us in his letter on the Acts of the Apostles. That being apostles' doctrine, we're teaching from the Word of God, those that are able to give back to the Lord a portion of what God has given them. And then we commune with the Lord. Our hearts should reflect back on the suffering that Christ did for all of us, and then also prayer. And then we, as our brother led us on this afternoon, praising God and having favor with all the people. Luke wrote in verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. You're on the call this afternoon, and you're not a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. We'll share with you at the close of the message what the Lord has commanded for one to become a Christian. Again, we'd like to, as our brother did on earlier, recognize that man has designated this as Father's Day. And so we spoke this morning from the Word of God regarding Joseph, the foster parent of Jesus Christ himself, and how he was a just man and did those things accordingly. So on this afternoon, we want to look in Romans, the fourth chapter, and read a few verses and draw from our subject title on this afternoon, that being Abraham, our father. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, in verse number 1 of Romans 4, the Bible reads, "What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, as pertaineth to the flesh, hath found?" So again, that's our subject, Abraham, our father. And so the question that is considered is whether one is saved by faith or by works. And Abraham, our father, is the subject of this question. And Paul wrote, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." We'll find that Abraham was not justified by works. Paul said in verse number 3, "For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." So the word counted means to believe that something is true. So the Bible teaches us that it was Abraham's faith in God that allowed God to count him for righteousness. So we want to just speak a few moments and look at how Abraham's faith influenced him in his walk with God. So he was not, as Paul's discussion with the Romans was, he was not justified by works. He was justified by his belief or his faith in God. In Genesis, you turn back with me, in Genesis chapter number 18, in Genesis chapter number 18, we want to pick up with the statement that the Lord made regarding Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18 and verse 9. The Bible reads, "And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in a tent. And then we find that what was spoken to Abraham, he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. The Bible says, now Abraham and Sarah was old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That, in other words, she was past that time period in order for her to become pregnant and to give birth. The Bible says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, and my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And we find in verse 14 something that all of us that are Christian need to remember. When the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And so for us that are Christians, again, we need to hold to the strength of the Lord and our faith in the Lord, understanding that the Lord asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No matter what you may be experiencing now, nothing is too hard for the Lord. We know we approach the Lord, those that are Christians, we have the ability to pray to the Lord. We don't need miracle signs and wonder, because God has given us the ability to pray to him those things that we are desirous of, those things that are in need. And the Lord teaches us that God can hear our prayers and answer them. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And so we see here that God lets Abraham know, you're going to become a father. And then God says something regarding Abraham. We're talking about being a father. The Bible says in verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And then God says something about Abraham as a father. We're talking about fathers today. The Bible says in verse 19, God said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So we find that God said regarding Abraham, God said, I know him just as he know all of us. And so our hope is those of us that are fathers, that we will develop and grow to the level that God had a note about Abraham that God can say regarding us, I know him, and he will lead his children and his family after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Long as they are with him in his family, they will keep the way of the Lord, and they're going to do justice, and they're going to have judgment. And so we hope that we as fathers will instill in our children those Christian virtues, that they will become Christians and they will follow after us and live a Christian life as God said regarding Abraham and his children and his household. So we see that about Abraham. And then when we look at chapter number 21, let's look at the situation of Abraham becoming a father, because once you become a father, as we talked about this morning, Joseph being a just man and a just father, and we talked about how the word just meaning the state of being right or displaying right behavior, because as a father, you have to lead, you have to make decisions that are right, and you have to be just in your decision-making. You have to be fair to everyone in your decision-making. You have to do that which is best for the family. In verse 21, the Bible reads, Genesis chapter 21, verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. The Bible teaches us God says what he means and means what he says. Whatever God says, he does. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. We have to realize sometimes God is always on time. God is never late. God is always on time. Sometimes when we're going through things, it appears that God may not be on time. God is always on time. The Bible says that Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. Yeah, the word Isaac means laughter. And the Bible says that Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. So we find that Abraham was one that, when you say believe God also means you do what God said. It's not just a mental conception of something, but we are to do those things that we find written in the Word of God. We said this morning, that's the reason why fathers and husbands need to study the Word of God. Lead your family and study that you can learn and apply those things. The Bible says that Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, or nurse a child, for I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. The Bible says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. The Bible says, verse number 11, and the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Sometimes husbands, fathers, you know, we'll talk about Sarah also before we close. But in this case, Sarah gives advice to Abraham, and I'm saying to all fathers, yeah, we have to be able to listen to our wife as a husband, listen to our wives and weigh those things that are said, and then do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And again, when we're talking about fathers, when we talk about husbands, when you talk about your wife, you're talking about two adults. Yeah. Yeah. And so God said unto Abraham in verse number 12, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. So we have to understand that when we make decisions, God, when we make the proper decisions, God will always support that which is right. God is a just God. Not only man can be just, but God is righteousness. So God shared with Abraham that I'm going to do right by this child. Listen to your wife in this case, but I'm going to do right by the child and his mother. So the Bible says in verse 14, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And so we find that Abraham does that which God, again, the father of faith, Abraham again listens to God, even though he, verse 11 tells us, he was grieving. He grieved about this thing. But he still know that as a father, I have to still do that which is right in the sight of God. So Abraham did that what God commanded. Abraham did that. And he sent him away. But God, we know, took care of Hagar and her son. For we read in verse number 16, and she went and sat down over against him a good way off, talking about her child, as it was a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. So we see here, as a father, talking about decisions are made. We have to make decisions again that are proper in the sight of God. And then when we do the right thing, we ought to have the support of our wives. If I'm the father that's leading, as God would have, because we find in 1 Peter, turn to the New Testament before we close, in 1 Peter chapter number 3, 1 Peter chapter number 3, and beginning at verse number 5, the Bible reads, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement. So the Bible tells those sisters, your mindset to be one as Sarah had toward her husband. Yeah, she obeyed him. The Bible tells us for Christians today, verse number 7, as I close, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We find from that one verse that God is saying to husbands who are fathers, maybe fathers, we are to dwell with our wives according to that knowledge here, means experiential knowledge, means knowledge based on your experience with them. Yeah, Abraham knew his wife Sarah. He listened to God. And he dwelt with her according to knowledge, and he gave her honor. Why? Because she's the weaker vessel. And Peter told the Christians then, why? Because you two are heirs together, the grace of life. The reason we do it also, that when we go to God in prayer, our prayers are not hindered because we're not dwelling well. Abraham, our father, on this afternoon, I want to just share a little more on being a father from the Word of God. If you're on the call this evening, this afternoon, and you're not a Christian, we find in the book of Romans that one Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he shared with them in verse 15 and 16, so as much as in me as I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So if you're on the call and you're not a Christian according to the Bible, you need to hear the gospel. The gospel is the three facts that Jesus Christ died for our sin. He was buried in a tomb and he rose again the third day, never to die again. And so Paul said to the Romans, you must believe that which you hear. You must believe it. Yeah. And then Romans 2 and 4 lets us know that we need to repent. repent of those things that we've done contrary to the will of God. We need to turn to God. And Paul said in verse number 4, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So one must hear the gospel. One must believe that gospel. One must repent of their sins. And then the Bible teaches us in Romans, Paul led in Romans 10 and 9, one must confess that which he believed in Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt believe, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But that's not all that one have to do, because in verse number 16 of Romans 10, the Bible says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So you have to obey the gospel. Yeah, but so how do I obey the gospel? Well, you understand, again, in Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, that's the part of the gospel. Christ died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. But we find that in order to become a Christian, a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, the only one you can read about in the Bible, we find in Romans chapter 6, Paul reminded those Romans. He said in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So what you must understand is that Jesus Christ died for sin, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. What you must do is die to sin. And then the Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. So you must not only die with Christ to sin, but you must be buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when you are water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins, the Lord adds you to the church of Christ, Romans 16:16. And when you come up out of that water, you are a new creature in Jesus Christ. There's someone that would like to respond to the gospel message as we had on last week, too, that were added to the Lord. You have whoever got you on the call to get in contact with us, and we can make it happen today that you can be added to the Lord Church. At this time, I turn you back over to the former song leader to give us the Savior's invitation. Thank you.